We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. And today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day is eat a hearty breakfast. A lot of people like to skip breakfast. The emphasis should be on the hearty. Several studies show that eating a hearty breakfast can reduce anxiety, speed up your metabolism, and even improve your mood. I mean, you've heard breakfast is the most important meal of the day. There you go.
Hearty, not Hardee's breakfast.
Although,
I'll eat both. You can eat hearty at Hardee's.
You can get it from Hardee's.
We love Hardee's. Shout out to our sponsors. We love Hardee's here. Big time fan.
Big Hardee's fans.
Just get eggs and bacon. You can skip the biscuit. I don't know why you would, but you can. Sometimes you need those carbs, though. Just saying.
True. Just burn them off at Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out.
Right.
Just go to goldsgym.com, find the location nearest you, and then you can use the free 3-day VIP pass to work out before you join. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. So we've got bold predictions with Houston. Not Houston's bold predictions, just bold predictions with Houston.
Bold predictions.
Yes.
Well, they're not like the bowl itself, just whether or not Tennessee goes to a bowl.
It's not which one.
Well, there is one.
I want to know if we were getting, you know.
Sporting News has us in one with an interesting matchup.
The Belk, or it's going to be like Tax Slayer. Like Outback.
We'll get there.
Win another Bloomin' Onion.
Tax Slayer's Gator Bowl, right? Formerly the Gator Bowl. And then Outback is the what now? I guess it's just
Outback's always been Outback.
Just still Outback.
Yeah, they call the Citrus something different now.
Yes,
like he has a new sponsor or what, you know, a sponsor name now, but I don't remember that.
Wait,
at the moment,
isn't Citrus the Outback Bowl? Didn't, because it was the Comp USA Citrus Bowl, isn't it now just the Outback Bowl?
I don't remember.
Look that up if you don't mind.
Okay,
make that happen.
Tell us which one we're going to.
I will in a minute. Athlon Sports, Tennessee football, : will the Volunteers make a bowl game in 2019? Here's the intro. Even though Tennessee finished with a losing record last season, there are several positives that can be taken from Jeremy Pruitt's head coaching debut. For starters, the Volunteers improved their win total by one. Yep. Compared to the end of the Butch Jones era in 2017. More importantly, Pruitt has quickly gotten Tennessee's program back in the shape and is building a foundation for future success, as evidenced by the top 15 recruiting class he just signed. In the grand scheme of things, however, there's only one measuring stick that truly matters.
Championships?
Wins.
Okay.
Which would ultimately lead to championships if you get enough of them.
Sounds
good. In the right order.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking 6 wins. A level that Tennessee has reached just 3 times in the last 8 seasons.
Yeah, that hurt. That
I could have done without that one.
I don't even feel that way. When I think about how bad it is, I still don't think it's been that bad. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Is that right?
The offseason's ahead of us, Houston.
Is that even right, though?
Only 6
wins. What
was
it again?
3 of the last 8 seasons.
That's not right.
5-4-9-9-7-5-5-5
Okay.
Holy
bleep. Yeah.
So in your head, as bad as you know Tennessee's been, you still thought it might be an error of that stat, and I did too. I'm right there with you. I'm not throwing you
under
the bus.
Well, it's 8 seasons, so they chopped off Dooley's first, which was 6.
But still,
you went 6-7.
There's
so
no
you're
way.
No, I know. I'm just saying, 3 out of 8 is scarier than 5 out of 10. So they went with the scarier sounding number.
Either one, I would have been like,
no. I'm just saying. But you could also say 3 out of 5, moving on this side of the 10 magic number. Anyway. Here's what Steven Lassen said. Yes, I think Tennessee makes a bowl game. The Volunteers should go 4-0 in non-conference play and have winnable games in SEC action against Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Mississippi State at home. I would also add Kentucky to that mix, but whatever. Pruitt's team isn't ready to finish in the top 25 next fall. However, they should show progress. Jerick Garantano is back and will benefit from the addition of new play caller Jim Chaney. The supporting cast of skill talent is solid, but Tennessee's biggest concern remains its offensive line, Amen. The secondary should be a strength of the defense, allowing time for Pruitt and new coordinator Derek Ansley to find the right mix up front. Mark Ross. It's been a struggle for Tennessee recently, but it seems that Pruitt has things trending in the right direction. He's upgraded the coaching staff by bringing back Jim Chaney and fan favorite T. Martin. That doesn't mean this team still doesn't have some question marks, especially when it comes to the offensive and defensive lines, but a friendly home schedule should work in the Vols' favor as the Pruitt project takes another step forward with the return to the postseason. But don't be surprised if UT is one of the last teams on the bowl invitation list, i.e., I'm giving them 6 wins. Kevin McGuire. While Tennessee is a program looking to do some rebuilding, there is no excuse for the Vols not to go bowling this season. A 3-0 start should be expected, and the Vols get a bye week before their final two games against Missouri and Vandy. Getting UAB at home in early November gives Tennessee a schedule that can see 6 wins as the bare minimum. Anything else should be considered a failure. I think he means anything fewer than that. 7 is not a failure if 6 isn't. Moron. Antoine Staley. Yes, Tennessee has struggled, but if anyone can right the ship and get things going again in Knoxville, it's Jeremy Pruitt.
All right.
I guess he really likes Pruitt. Not only did the Vols get back Jarrett Garantano as their starting quarterback, but they also returned running backs Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan, who combined for 1,152 rushing yards last season, along with Marquez Callaway, Josh Palmer, and Juwan Jennings at receiver. Although Tennessee travels to both Florida and Alabama, the schedule is favorable, so 6 wins or more isn't out of the question. My prediction, 7-5. Ryan Wright. There's 3 more. Ryan Wright's one of the last 3. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Pruitt's first season in Knoxville was salvaged with surprise wins over 2 ranked teams, 21 Auburn and 12 Kentucky. As for this season, the first 3 games, Georgia State, BYU, and Chattanooga, are all in Neyland and should be wins. The other non-conference game against UAB should be a 4th win, even though the Blazers posted an 11-3 record in 2018. The only other game Tennessee was close to winning a year ago was a 27-24 decision on the road to South Carolina. The Vols get the Gamecocks at home this year, so that could be a much-needed 5th win. The team needs to close strong with a fairly favorable November schedule. Kentucky and Missouri are both in transition, having lost key talent, but are no rollovers, and winning on the road in the SEC is no picnic. College fans may not realize it, but Vanderbilt has a 3-game winning streak going against the Vols. Pruitt needs that victory to close out the season to be bowl eligible or possibly increase the luster of a bowl invitation and to keep the fan base on his side. I'm saying he gets there, but barely. 6-6. Rob McVay. I'll just skip all of his stuff. Abundance of experience, upgraded staff, manageable schedule. Craig Fitzgerald. Thank you for mentioning Craig Fitzgerald. It's about time. Question marks remain, particularly along the offensive and defensive lines. However, 6 wins in a bowl game should be easily attainable for the Vols in 2019. Anything less, major underachievement under the circumstances. And then finally, Nicholas Ian Allen. What is it? Who is that guy? Ian, the basketball guy?
Ian Eagle.
This is Nicholas Ian Allen.
Different guy.
I'm going to read his entire paragraph here, of paragraphs, because it's good stuff. First of all, I am a Jeremy Pruitt believer. There were obviously some growing pains during his first season as a head coach, and his personality probably won't ever make him a media darling, but Pruitt has a strong track record, and he's great defensively. The fact Nick Saban hired him multiple times is a good thing. New OC Jim Chaney also seems to be a good fit philosophically. He helped develop quarterback Jake Fromm at Georgia, which makes me think Jarrett Garantano should benefit. Garantano earned rave reviews this spring and has plenty of experienced weapons. Did he earn rave reviews? Did he earn rave reviews?
No.
Maybe I missed those.
No, people just like to say that with returning guys.
Rave reviews. Mm-hmm. The biggest question is whether or not the offensive line improves. A team this talented should go bowling without question. Players on the Tennessee roster currently have an average of 0.8879 rating in the 24/7 sports composite, which ranks 7th in the conference and 3rd in the East behind Georgia and Florida. Georgia 0.9191 and Florida 0.8966. Of course, talent has rarely been the issue at Tennessee. Instead, the Volunteers haven't developed players as well as the best SEC programs this decade. That should change under this coaching staff. The Vols should be favored in all 4 non-conference games, but BYU and UAB can be tricky. Tennessee draws Mississippi State, must travel to Tuscaloosa, but get South Carolina at home. The final three games of the year, Kentucky, at Missouri, Vanderbilt, will likely decide the Vols' offseason fate. If Tennessee can win two of those three, and I believe they should win them all, Pruitt will have the Vols back in a bowl game. 9 wins are possible.
Oh, baby.
9.
Whoa.
9 wins are possible. It wasn't a prediction. It was just a,
right.
It was a, hey, this could happen. The Sporting News has released their super way too early bowl projections.
I had that already pulled up. Ready.
Tennessee going bowling. Where? Jacksonville. In what?
The Tax Slayer.
The Tax Slayer Bowl. Against
Nebraska.
Man. Again with Nebraska. Again. We just played them in our last bowl game.
It's the VRBO Citrus Bowl. I thought the Outback was a new bowl when it started.
VRBO.
Citrus Bowl. Well, it's going to be the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl this year. Apparently a switch up in the sponsorship. Yeah, but yeah, the Citrus
Buffalo
Bowl
Wild Wings trying everything they can to stay relevant.
Citrus Bowl still a Citrus Bowl.
Respect. That would be a very interesting matchup with Nebraska, not only because you just played them recently, but Scott Frost at Nebraska now, the Adrian Martinez situation where you had him and then Pruitt said, maybe we don't want you, and it was real awkward, and now Martinez, who got hurt, but he was good before he got hurt. He's like really good.
How about
Sporting News also has a Final Four of Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas, the national championship game. Big stunner here. Alabama, Clemson. Round, I don't know what that would be. 4, 5, 5.
Somebody projected Texas to be in the title game yesterday. That was pretty funny.
Tom Herman told you.
Our boy that brought down Urban Meyer, Brett McMurphy.
I thought you were going to say Zach Smith.
Of watchstadium.com has Tennessee in the Belk Bowl. And then Saturday down south.
Belk Bowl would mean a better finish than Tax Slayer, correct?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No, Tax Slayer's like one slot ahead, I think.
I would imagine that would be a 7-8 win season. To me, Belk Bowl's 6-6.
Weren't we 6-6 when we went to the Tax Slayer Bowl? And then it was the...
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first bowl,
and then
right?
It was the Outback the next year. So I think the Belk Bowl is the 7-5 team. I believe the Belk Bowl gets the priority pick over the Tax Slayer Bowl. So that actually means Brett McMurphy thinks we're going probably 7-5 or 8-4.
He has this against Pitt.
I would welcome that matchup, I think.
Well, the Belk is ACC, SEC, and
right.
Tax Slayer is Big Ten, so...
Yeah, Big Ten don't want this, man. They need to stay away. We just roll Big Ten teams in bowl games. It's not good. We embarrass them. Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska. It's not been good for them. I don't know Nebraska's. Yeah, never mind.
We'll come back.
They just don't want. They don't want this.
We'll come.
They
back
don't want more. This heat.
Stick with us right here on Three and Out.
Yep.
Or we bring the heat. Welcome back to Three and Out here. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford as we roll on hour number 3. The show's going by fast. Saturday down south had Tennessee playing Maryland in the Music City Bowl. Interesting matchup.
Our last bowl game against Maryland did not go well. At all. What was that guy's name? EJ Henderson, that linebacker? He killed us.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
That was a monster.
What was that? Did we lose that game 27-3?
I don't remember.
It was bad. It was very, very bad. I'd rather not think about it.
I mean, it's good news everybody has us going bowling, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that we're like teetering on the line of bowling or not. You know, it's not like they're going to go. The question is, do they win 8 or do they win 7? Or do they win 9 or do they win 7? It's, do they win 6 or 5?
They got to go 7-5, right? Expectation, got to be 7-5. Have to be.
I right now, yes.
And I prefer 8-4.
I think Tennessee fans would prefer 8-4 over 7-5. I agree with you.
The Maryland
game. You've
gotten
really good at these.
30-3.
30-3.
Oh, gosh.
Shorted them. Shorted Maryland a field goal. I don't know what was worse, that one or that Clemson beat down.
Peach Bowl.
I've kind of forgotten about that one. Yeah, Clemson kicked our ass, too. We launched them. What was that quarterback's name? Played for the Titans for a long time. Long hair, mustache.
Whitehurst. Charlie Whitehurst.
He was really good that night. Looked like Will Greer out there. That's when we launched Clemson into the pan. You know what's funny, though? If you go back and watch The Blind Side,
yeah,
they're watching Tennessee in a bowl game, and it's that bowl game, and they adjusted the score on the screen to have Tennessee winning.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess
the point?
Because Ower was, in real life, he liked Tennessee, so they tried, I guess, to make Tennessee feel better. But Clemson killed us in that bowl game.
That's why we didn't get Michael Orr.
Because we lost to Clemson. But yeah, I always thought that was funny. They show, oh, there's Tennessee. I cannot stand that gaudy orange. They show the score, and I was like, that was never the score. Tennessee was up by like 24 in the movie. I'm like, we were never up by 24 in that game. We were getting smoked. I think they just inverted the score. I was like, of all the things to do.
Just swap it out.
Just, nah, let's just lie to everybody. Tennessee's good.
What year was that?
2003, I think. Yeah, because James Banks was suspended for the first half, and everyone thought, oh, once he gets back in the second half, Tennessee's going to cruise. I think he caught, like, one pass. And then he got suspended for having a fake you-know-what filled with urine. Got busted.
Mm-hmm.
Wizinator.
Yeah.
He and Ontario Smith. We got a long history of Wizinators. Wizinator U. You can buy those, you know, if you want. Wizinator. Really clever name, too. Oh, my God. Wizinator's got you just all kinds of tore up.
Wizinator was fine. I was good with that.
Wizinator
when
you?
When you said Wizinator you.
It's like wide receiver you, if you say it fast enough. Wizinator you.
Is there a hand sign for that? Like,
can't do that one on the Periscope, pal. We lost a generational receiver to a fake penis filled with urine. I mean, you can't make that up. Tennessee football. That's it. That was the decline. Lose to Clemson. Wizinator. After that, it was only David Cutcliffe who could save us for 2 years. And then he left. And then since
that
then,
was it. You found it.
He cracked the code. Wizinator.
Convening Station was asking that question the other day. Like,
yeah,
who's most to blame?
2007? No, it was the Wizinator 2003. 2000.
They stopped short of blaming their own host.
Well, I guess technically it was 2004. I think that was a January 2nd game, if I recall correctly. But that was it. After that, 2004. Summer of 2004, James Banks off
the
team. Because, what was it? His urine was too hot. And they were like, are you sick? Like, no. Can you step into? And then, I don't know, if like fell out of
what
his
did
pants.
Did he leave in the trunk? Or
I don't know, man. I don't know. But that was a big deal. Like a big story. The Wizinator. Wizinator you.
I don't know why it's so funny.
I mean, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
what are you reading?
Well, there's a lot of Reddit posts and Vol Nation posts and 24/7 stuff and I don't know. It's just it was apparently a really big thing. Apparently the MMA the Wizinator was super popular in the MMA for people to pass drug tests. So there you go. Ontario Smith and James Banks. Wasn't it or you? Super talented players that just blew it. Sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to sidetrack there.
It's okay.
Right.
So 7-5. 8-4.
No, we will summon the power of the Wizinator and get to 9-3. 9 wins are possible, I mean, said old buddy.
I thought as soon as Philip Fulmer took the reins that the old school bagmen started running again because recruiting just up. But now people are freaking out about recruiting this cycle, so I don't know. Maybe some other people caught up, or maybe that wasn't the case. So I have to wait and see if how it all happens down the stretch here during the camping season.
Yeah, camping season.
Camping. Yeah.
Speaking of camping, did you see that the Titans also did paintball this week?
No.
I guess they saw that the Tennessee players and coaches had a good time, so
good
the Titans yesterday were playing some paintball. We're going to bring paintball all the way back. Mm. It's like a really big deal when I was in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
A lot of guys got into paintball. Now Tennessee's bringing it back. The whole state. You watch. Penny Hardaway, paintball soon. Copies everything else. Yeah. Everybody else. But yeah, that's a real thing. Wasn't there. Do we want to go to break or do we want to maybe we can tease it. I don't know how many people care. Gino Auriemma is opening his mouth. And he took out a Wizenator all over Tennessee's women's basketball program, frankly. He kind of burned it down.
Yeah.
The other day. Talking about renewing the rivalry, and let's just say that Gino Auriemma is doing everything he can to tell Tennessee to go get their shine box.
Well, if you missed it too, Tennessee had a player transfer from
only our best player
to UConn. Yeah, only the best player Tennessee had went to UConn. So there's a little bit of drama and some
shots
fired. We'll talk that next. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. So, women's basketball was getting kind of
boring,
you know, into the rough territory. Obviously, the season
is that
kinda,
just around here, or is that everywhere? You think?
No, I just mean
here.
The Lady Vols program was kind of burning down, and
just asking for clarification. That's all.
And Avina Westbrook was one of the players who said that steps need to be taken. This was before Holly Warlick had been relieved of her duties. There was we heard that Fulmer was thinking about making a decision, a move on Holly Warlick, and then once he talked to the players, it confirmed all of his fears. Like, the players were like, yeah, we got to do something different. She was obviously the only one to say that publicly. Then Kelly Jolly Harper's hired, and Westbrook transfers to UConn.
It's not funny.
Gino Auriemma was asked about that. We'll start there, and then we'll get to him, what really sparked outrage with some. Auriemma says he's spoken with Westbrook about those comments. Quote, kids say things all the time. Coaches say things all the time. I wasn't there. I know Holly really well. I don't presume to know how that all went down. I'm not going to make any decision based on that. She knows the way she handled that probably wasn't the best way to handle it. We talked about it, and she knows that.
Basically, you say something like that about me, I'm burying you in the mosh.
Yeah.
For clarification.
So there's that dynamic. There's that kind of drama going on between the two schools. She posted a picture on Twitter that had people riled up because it was with all this UConn gear on, other UConn people, and I can't remember what the subtext said, what the caption said, but it was, you know, kind of inflammatory towards Tennessee's culture a little bit. Gino Auriemma was asked about renewing the rivalry with Tennessee, and this is what really got people upset. He said, quote, it's a different world. I never understood the big to-do about us playing Tennessee again. With all the teams we play and who we have played the last X number of years, it just doesn't seem the same. Yeah, the name is the same, but nothing else is the same. It's almost like they're any other school now. I don't know if he used the Wizenator, but he definitely marked his territory.
Yeah. Gotta love that. Didn't really seem necessary, but when is it needed to be necessary for Gino Auriemma to do things like this?
Hey, Billy, how good was Avina Westbrook last year for Tennessee?
She averaged 14.9 points a game, shot 38% from the three, 42% from the field. Let's see.
Was that the leading score?
She was the leading scorer with Davis. They both averaged 14.9 points a game.
Is Davis a senior? Or did she?
I think so.
Yeah.
Senior post, I think.
Yeah.
Says, yeah.
Hmm.
Says sophomore on here.
Maybe I had that wrong.
Okay.
All
right. Well, I guess that's the onus is on us then.
Huh.
It'd be nice to make him eat those words.
It would. I don't think it's going to happen soon, but I guess it could happen eventually.
Fair.
The other thing that happened with the Lady Vols is their All-American recruit, Mimi Collins, transferred to Maryland. She was a McDonald's All-American. I think she's a rising sophomore, right? She was a freshman last year.
Oh, yeah.
She tweeted out a picture of her with Maryland stuff, and then with Maryland a national championship trophy and some Big Ten titles, and it says, "I'm home, baby." 6'3", Collins averaged 5.5 points and 3.4 rebounds in 15 minutes per game as a freshman last season.
Okay.
Real quick, Westbrook had 10 games where she scored at least 20 points.
So you're right. She was your best guard for sure.
Yeah.
With Davis in the post.
Yeah. Currently signed the Lady Vols for the 2019 class have Jordan Harston, a 5-star guard, the best guard in the country, according to ESPN. Also, Tamari Key, the 10th-ranked post. She's 6'5", from Cary High School in North Carolina, 5-star. And Emily Saunders, another post player, 19th-ranked post in the country. What do they call them? They just say post. Another 6'5", Wyoming County East High School. All are signed. It's a done deal. None are McDonald's All-Americans. I don't know if they've made that selection for this class yet, so that could be why. Interesting, Jordan Harston, second best player in the country, according to the ESPN rankings. Tamari Key, where did I see her? The 47th best player in the country, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to do one quick scroll up here. UConn only has one player committed in the top 50. South Carolina has four in the top 11.
Good grief.
Yeah, Donna Staley doing some work.
Yeah, it'd be nice if she was. Never mind.
Yeah, we know what you're going to say. Just shut up. So, yeah, there you go. There's your women's basketball update for the day.
But so things are going great, is what you're saying.
Oh, they're not going bad.
Wait, what was the local girl ranked? The one.
I don't. She's not. Maybe. Oh. Or is that next year's class?
I don't know.
I
saw some people kind of like, oh, great. Now we're already recruiting worse.
I mean, it's 2 5-stars that you just got, so doesn't seem worse. Seems pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it does kind of stink that your best player went to UConn. A lot of people when they're making the hire were talking about how it's time to make the move. You make it now. You got a great roster. You got a great class coming in already. And then to lose two of them to transfer. I don't know. Maybe that's just the way it goes. Maybe you got spots. Maybe you get two to replace them that are about the same level.
Yeah, they got spots. So it will be interesting to see what Kelly Jolly Hopper does. I mean, she's at least familiar with it. She's been a head coach before. So it's not like this is brand new. You know, we didn't go get her off of an assistant bench spot or something. So she's got at least some experience, and now she's got obviously a lot more to sell. But comments like that from Gino kind of prove that you got a little bit of a climb back up. But it's basketball, so you can do it quickly if you got a coach who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Now, she was recruiting as a head coach here in the area back in 2007. So, I mean, she's experienced in the recruiting world, maybe not at the highest level. I mean, she was at NC State, I guess, for a while. So we'll see. You got all the resources now. You got the brand. Lady Vols brand, I mean, that's got to be a big deal. You got to make
it's just
it,
funny,
you got to
like,
make it a thing again.
You never hear really a coach take shots like that. Like in college football, for example, I don't think you'd ever hear that. Like a coach say something along the lines of, "Oh yeah, there's one thing to say, they're just another team, we treat everybody the same, but this was they're not the same program now. Like they kind of stink." It's just funny. It's almost like he wants Tennessee to be good, and he's disappointed that they suck. So he's going to make fun of them. It might be the wake-up call Tennessee needed. I wish he'd have said it sooner. I hate him.
He's always done this. Like he's
Yeah, he's kind of the Spurrier.
I was about to say, like, you can do that when you've won as much as he has, but he did this before he won big. This is just who he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's
you can hate him.
He's from Philly, man. He's just I'm going to say what I think, and I really don't give a damn how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Well, and it helps him if the Lady Vols are good. I mean, one of the most recognizable.
I think he, in a way, this feels like him saying, yeah, they've really let this thing go. It's not even a big game for us anymore. That's disappointing because this used to be a really big deal. He's saying, like, yeah, us picking the rivalry back up, everyone's making a big deal out of it. It's not that big of a deal because they stink now. It was a big deal back in the mid-2000s, early 2000s, late 90s. Then it was big deal. Now it's just not a big deal. I really don't even care that much, and it's their fault. Motivation. I'll take it.
Let's go. Final segment, rapid fire style, coming right back at you here on 3 and Out. Final segment, Thursday edition of 3 and Out. Houston, did you see the snail question last night on Twitter?
Oh, God, really? I did not.
I'm going to go with the original version, Billy, because I think it makes it more interesting.
Okay.
You get $1 million immediately, but you have to sign up for this.
Cash in hand, right?
Cash in hand. A snail will now know your location at all times. It will constantly be traveling towards you. You cannot kill the snail, and if it touches you, you are dead. Does the snail get help crossing water? Is that a thing? Like, couldn't I just go live on a boat or, like, just build a moat around my house and be good?
Yes, I would think so.
The snail gets help crossing
water. And by moat, you mean like a half-inch deep little water.
Yeah. I could put a gutter in the ground around my house. I'm going to have to say the snail gets help crossing the water just at a snail's pace.
Snail's pace?
Yeah.
Let's recap.
Okay.
Start with a mile. 5,280 feet.
Mm-hmm.
60 minutes in an hour. 24 hours in a day. The average snail moves at a pace of 2 feet every 3 minutes. That means...
It's faster than I thought, actually.
That means... That's straight line, too. This snail can't straight line. Highways, dead snail. Or is he...
No, it can't.
It can't die.
Yeah.
Well, how's it going to... If it gets run over by a semi, it just... Well, I'm good.
Yeah, good. It keeps going.
The iron snail.
And it comes straight to you.
Straight at you.
Yeah. Well, there's... I mean, he'd have to go over a barrier or through the woods or...
You could just like...
Around water. I mean, can he like breathe underwater?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's indestructible.
Oh, okay. Well, 1 mile would take the snail... 5 days and 12 hours.
All right. Well, that's faster than I thought because my theory was, wait a minute, a snail's so slow, I could still live in Knoxville, just get a couple different places on either side.
That's 1 mile a week.
Yeah, no, but I don't want to have to be moving every, like, you know.
I mean, if you have two houses 4 miles away, you switch a house a month.
Yeah.
You have $1 million. Well, I think you could afford...
That was my initial thought was I could... Like, Billy was like, I'll move to Australia. I was like, I don't think you need to do that, buddy. Just have one house on one side of town, one house on the other. Calculate
Does he
it.
Travel on the top of the water or does he have to go to the bottom of the ocean if he travels to Australia?
I'm saying top. I'm saying like he
Does he
actually,
catch a boat?
He just hovers over everything and just goes straight.
He could catch a boat. Could be a smart snail. He could catch a car.
The snail is way too slow.
Wait. Okay, so he's allowed to hitchhike?
I
mean, that's a game changer. Does he have bird friends? Hey, pick me up, drop me on this guy.
The whole point's the snail's pace.
He's an indestructible snail. He might have other forms of intelligence.
Well, don't even say it's a snail. Just say it's a calculation. It's the snail's pace, and if you're at the same location that you've been at for that amount of time, then you're dead. I mean, think of it that way.
To travel around the world at a snail's pace, 34,500 days. So halfway around the world, which would be the furthest you could get away from this snail. Quick math. 17,200 and like 40 days.
What is that divided by 365?
That is 47 years.
So if I move to Fiji, I got 47 years to spend $1 million and not die. And then I could only spend half the time there and come back, assuming he's halfway there, and it's the same thing.
Dumbest question ever.
Yeah, I'm taking $1 million. Of course. I don't want a snail. Unless he has super hitchhiking ability, which would be terrifying.
We need a different... Well, it would be... Yeah, it would be more terrifying if you couldn't calculate
and
the
he
pace.
Has to touch me?
Yeah.
You could just juke him as soon as
I know. It's like, oh, there he is. Oh,
spin move.
Oh,
I don't know. They say we swallow like five spiders a night. I don't know.
They're fast, and they can drop from anywhere. How does he touch me? Like, it has to be in your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Smart snail.
I carry around some salt. Dead. I know he's
that's
indestructible.
Slugs.
They're the same thing. A snail is a slug in a shell.
He could turtle up.
Just dump it in the top.
What sucks is after you've spent that $1 million, like the snail's still coming for you.
I mean, geez. If I invest it though,
you don't need $1 million to protect yourself from the snail though. That's the whole point. You can just move around. I can live the same lifestyle, put the million in the bank.
What are any like special snail escaping technology
right.
with that million? No, it's a snail. I'm just running from him.
You ain't running when you're 80.
Now, if this question's like,
I'm still faster than him.
If this question's like a chihuahua, now we got issues.
Yeah, now, no.
A bionic chihuahua that never gets tired and just runs at you the whole time?
No chance. I would not take $1 million.
I wouldn't want that pressure just on the brain. No. Like, where's the chihuahua?
Can the chihuahua climb a tree? I could just live up there. See, snails, that's what's tricky, right? Like, they can climb pretty much anything. A dog can't.
What about a snake?
Oh.
They're just kind of scary.
I just don't even want a snake coming for me.
Snakes are slower than a chihuahua.
Yeah.
But it's a snake.
Right.
I would turn down 10 mil if it was a snake.
Really?
I think I would, too. I just don't think.
You just got to make sure you're far, far away.
No, I just don't want it. I just don't want to know a snake is following
me
everywhere.
I don't know that 10 million. 10 million, I don't know that is enough. To get this, but
do you know where he starts? Where the snail starts?
I'm assuming in the room with us right now.
So he's
you
just
get your
on
million,
the middle of the
you get your $1 million, yeah.
But seriously, so, you could still go to West Knoxville and then go to East Knoxville.
Well, but that means in a week he's only to the front door. So I'm not gonna be
it's a mile in a week, right?
That's right. That's
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's, so
he's out on the internet. He's out on I-40.
It's 5.5 feet a day or something like that.
Yeah.
And he chases me.
No, that's not, yeah.
No, it was more than that. I'm sorry.
Whatever, yeah.
Sorry.
It was 2 feet every already, 3 minutes.
Yeah, 2 feet every 3 minutes. Yeah, take a day off.
That's
let
a lot
him,
faster than I thought.
2 feet every 3 minutes is faster than you thought? What?
Well, yeah. See, this snail never gets tired. That's the difference. You know, it never stops.
3 minutes?
Yeah. But see, they just stop and chill for a while. It's... A snake. A snake would make this question so much better.
I like chihuahua.
Chihuahua?
Except that I could hide in a tree.
Eh.
Can he open doors?
I think.
Can the snail open doors?
It can go under it.
Not if you have a good sealed door. I got $1 million.
You're focused on all the wrong stuff.
I can snail-proof my house.
I think if it's a computer program that acts like one of these animals at that pace. So like basically,
a computer program?
Yeah. If you're just
what are
out
you
of,
talking about?
If you're just out of time. At that spot, then boom, you're done. But wait, every time you move, doesn't the snail change where he's going?
Yeah.
What if I just take a cup and put it over top of him? He's just there. And put like a book on top of the cup.
Again, you're focused on all the wrong things.
I might have just trapped the snail in a cup for infinity.
So he would just turn and go towards you and go up around the cup
all the time.
He's
just doing circles.
Snail's a really dumb question.
It's kind of funny, though. Snail. Of all the things.
I guess it gives you time to, like,
would
sleep.
Would the worry just drive you nuts? Just knowing. Even if you're...
I think I would want to be in closer proximity to the snail. I would like to keep tabs on him.
I think that's...
He's got to touch me. So if I know and I can change his direction at any time, it's perfect.
Think about waking up, having to think every time you wake up.
Where's
the snail?
But if I know where he starts, I can keep him in a general vicinity using math and straight lines.
That's true, but it's
called trigonometry.
It's a lot of mental.
I got $1 million. It's just trig.
Unless he can hitchhike,
I don't know where the hell he is.
I don't think that's enough money.
Once he starts coming at you, though, I mean, unless you're like you move around a lot, right? You're at work, you go home, you swing by a restaurant to eat lunch, whatever.
Go fishing.
Like you go fishing. Every time you change, he's changing. You don't have a beacon on him. You're not going to do the math every time you get in your car and drive. So, like, you won't know how far he really got towards you one time as you moved to a quick stop place.
I mean, you would if you wanted to do the trick. I feel like I could design a computer program that would tell me exactly where he is at all times based on the speed he travels.
I just hire a personal assistant to always keep track of the slug.
You got $1 million. It's a snail, not a slug.
I would say no.
You would say no? $1 million to be chased by a snail?
It's just too much.
You're an idiot.
It's too much to think about at all times. You're always thinking about a snail.
A snake, I get. Chihuahua, definitely. That's just.
But
spooky.
I mean, think about how easy it would be to keep tabs on him. Like, you could just. We know how far he moves in an hour.
But every time you move, he changes direction.
But I'm saying you could just go and check on him.
Eventually, years.
Well, you could have somebody that would check on him. I'm just saying, like, you know, in a day, he's only going to be able to move so many feet. He's going to be in some general area. Then I just go stand near the area until he shows himself.
He's going to move a seventh of a mile in a day. But he's going to change directions every time you move. You
but
go to the
bathroom.
But he's
still going to be in a vicinity.
You go to the bathroom, but he's so tiny.
I got someone with me watching him. Then I'm going to the bathroom by myself being chased by a killer snail. You're an idiot.
I really didn't think this would take the whole segment. We'll come back tomorrow. Tune in at 7 o'clock then. Up next, Talk Sports. John Reed is back.
I'd give him a rotting piece of wood. He'd be set.
I don't think you can bribe the snail. He wants your $1 million. He gets the million when he gets your wealth when he kills you.
Buys a lot of dead stuff.